The Prime Minister says he'll be patient in waiting for the relationship between Australia and France to recover following the cancellation of the $90 billion submarines contract. French President Emmanuel Macron will return his ambassador to Washington after a phone call from US President Joe Biden, in which he acknowledged there could have been better consultation. But Australia hasn't made such progress, Prime Minister Scott Morrison today admitting he hasn't been in contact with Mr. Macron.
Our door is wide open. Our invitation is there. We understand the hurt and the disappointment, and we'll be patient, and we look forward to working with old friends again.
Senator Penny Wong is the Shadow Foreign Affairs Minister, and I spoke to her a short time ago and asked her if the Prime Minister's willingness to be patient will be enough to repair Australia's relationship with France.
He clearly didn't engage with the French in a way that ensured we didn't see the sort of diplomatic fallout we have seen. We've seen the French say that on the same day he was standing up to make the announcement, they got a letter saying that all was well with their project. Now, that is no way to handle a partner, an important Indo-Pacific partner, and a country which does share many of our interests and values when it comes to the multilateral system as well as the region in which we live.
US President Joe Biden spoke with Macron overnight and acknowledged their could have been greater consultation. Should Scott Morrison follow suit and apologise?
Well, I think what we've seen is the leadership from President Biden in making that acknowledgement that you described in the readout of their call, that he and President Macron have acknowledged that earlier consultation between allies would have been preferable. We've not seen that sort of leadership from Mr. Morrison.
Former Prime Minister Kevin Rudd has labelled the handling of the submarine announcement a foreign policy debacle and says he doubts Australia will be able to mend ties under the Morrison government. Is that too strong a language, or do you agree with that sentiment?
No, I don't think that language is too strong. And not only am I concerned about the bilateral relationship, but concerned about Australia's reputation, or particularly rather Mr. Morrison's reputation as the leader of the nation. In relation to the bilateral relationship with France, it isn't helped by unnamed ministers in the Morrison government describing the French as having a souk. I mean, really, it's not only a childish way to approach this, it's bad for the country, and it's about time Mr. Morrison and his cabinet started acting in a way that demonstrates they understand what is good for the country.
He suggested Australia should have asked France and the UK and the US to tender for the contract. What do you make of that idea? Would that be feasible?
That's something that the government should answer. Look, we obviously were briefed the day before the announcement, and Anthony Albanese stood up a week ago and he made two points. One is that Labor supports the AUKUS partnership, and we accept the capability argument that had been put to us about nuclear-propelled submarines. However, I think there are some reasonable questions that need to be answered as we go forward through what is an 18-month consultation period. They go to costs and jobs, capability and our capacity to act independently. And those are all reasonable propositions. I would say it's really disappointing yet again that Mr. Morrison has refused Anthony Albanese's very reasonable offer to have a bipartisan process in relation to this submarine project, recognising we're on the eve of an election, recognising we're in a pre-caretaker period. What Anthony has said is, look, let's take this out of, you know, the realm of politics and put it into the realm of national interest. Let's do what's good for the country and work together. What has Scott Morrison done? He's turned his back on that. And that is very disappointing for the country.
In a speech to the US Studies Centre today, you've warned the government against sacrificing the country's sovereignty as part of this deal. Given the technological dependence on the US that it requires, are you confident Australia can maintain autonomy under the deal?
Yes, I am, if we have a government that deals with this intelligently and responsibly. And we haven't seen that. We saw Mr. Morrison today, frankly, with a smirk on his face, trying to pick a political fight on this issue. That is a very reasonable question and a reasonable proposition. You know, how do we ensure we maintain our capacity to act independently? And that's a question that past prime ministers have all had to deal with, past governments have all had to deal with, as we have increased our interoperability and engagement with the US and other partners. Now, you know, past prime ministers, past governments have ensured those arrangements do respect Australia's capacity to act independently. We're simply saying this is something we need to ensure as we progress down this path.
Scott Morrison has accused Labor of having a bet each way over this deal. Is the bipartisan support for the announcement starting to fade, given some of the comments you made in this speech?
Well, you know, Mr. Morrison is saying something that is not true, and he said it with a smirk on his face. And again, what I say is what we are actually seeing here is the leader of the nation, Scott Morrison, picking a political fight. Picking a political fight when we have been really clear about our support for the partnership, our recognition of the capability argument, which is why we're prepared to take the approach that the government is taking. But we have put reasonable questions that past governments, both Labor and Liberal, have addressed, and instead of answering those reasonable questions, this bloke's reflex is to pick a political fight. You know, that's not leadership, Patricia.
Indonesia and Malaysia have warned the deal could cause a regional arms race. Has the government failed to communicate with these nations?
The diplomatic legwork in the lead up to this announcement clearly could have been better. We've seen that in relation to the French, where we've seen a very strong response. I hope that the government will do the work now to engage with the region and demonstrate to the region that the concerns that, as you described it, Malaysia and Indonesia have raised are concerns that we can address. And I hope that we can continue, as because we need to as a country, to partner with the nations of the region, ASEAN nations and beyond, India, Japan, Korea, to make sure as the region is being reshaped, that it's reshaped in a way that will be respectful of Australia's interests and the interests of other small and middle powers in the region.
The ABC has been told the Vice Chief of the Defence Force, Vice Admiral David Johnson, will visit the region in the hope of addressing these concerns next week. Do you think that's a wise decision or is that too late?
Well, I probably prefer the Vice Chief of the Defence Force than Mr. Morrison at the moment, judging by the lack of success he's had when it comes to diplomacy lately.
Paul Keating yesterday accused you of muted complicity. How do you respond to his very strong criticism?
Paul Keating is a respected former Labor Prime Minister. He did great things for this country. But on this we disagree. And the position I and the Labor Party today take is predicated on up-to-date briefings and assessments and a judgment about where Australia's strategic circumstances are and where our national interest lies.
You've also renewed Labor's calls for bipartisan consultation on that submarine program. Why does Labor see this as so important?
It's a big decision for the country, and this will be a multi-decade, multi-billion dollar project. And it would be best if it were a project that was managed for the good of the country and the national interest by both parties of government. You know, I think that way you would manage the risks associated with the project, you would manage the implementation of that project far better if you brought both parties of government to the table. What Labor will do instead, because there are reasonable questions to be asked, is to ensure we have a Senate inquiry. There's an existing shipbuilding inquiry. So we'll move to ensure that this submarine project and the cancellation, let's not forget, the cancellation of the French submarine project, the second subs program that this coalition government has cancelled, the first one being Japanese and now this one, the costs of that do need to be, you know, transparently disclosed to the Parliament and to the Australian people.
Before we go, Senator, what do you make of the scenes we saw in Melbourne over the last 3 days, particularly yesterday and the reports that have emerged about the kind of people involved in these demonstrations?
Completely unacceptable, the behaviour that we've seen, and very distressing for many Melburnians. I have family in Melbourne, and I know it's been very distressing for all of you. What is needed here is clear leadership. All politicians should be condemning the violence we have seen, unreservedly. All politicians should be pushing back against the extremist elements, the violent elements, the anti-vaxxer message, misinformation that has fuelled these unacceptable behaviours. It's very disappointing to see members of this government, the Morrison government, including on your own program with Amanda Stoker, making excuses for these behaviours, referring to people as freedom fighters. This is not, and Barnaby Joyce refusing to pull into line Mr Christensen. I think the people of Melbourne and our police deserve a little more leadership from their federal politicians.
According to Richard Willingham, the ABC's Richard Willingham, health sources are saying that a COVID positive man who is now in hospital, he's not in ICU but he's in hospital, attended yesterday's protests in Melbourne. Now, obviously, that's alarming for obvious reasons. What does that demonstrate to you about the danger of this?
Well, it's self-evident, isn't it? And it reminds us of the importance of that political leadership at all levels to ensure that we confront the misinformation, don't allow some of the extremist elements and the incorrect arguments that are being used in the context of these riots and protests.
That's Senator Penny Wong, the Shadow Foreign Affairs Minister. 0418 226 576 is our text line. This is RN Drive.